You hear him on the Tampa Bay Bucs radio network. He is none other than TJ Reeves. How about that poor setup, partner?
I always appreciate your intros. It's good to be with you. Am I a collaborator? Am I a co-conspirator? What exactly am I? I'm not quite sure. We have to maybe define that, but SEC14.com.
Dear friend, how about that?
Yeah, dear friend, but SEC14.com, we have a lot of fun on that sound, on that site talking college football with podcasts and also doing some writing. I know that I caught your eye earlier in the week on Monday morning when I proclaimed that the College Football Playoff Committee was going to have somebody's Alabama Crimson Tide number one come Tuesday night. I was not alone in that. There was not a majority, but I was not alone, but got that one right. Got that one right, and I didn't think Mississippi State should drop below four. They were four, and I think the committee got that right too, Chris.
No, you nailed it. Tell me why you tended to go with the Dogs in that particular spot.
Just because if you've been paying attention to what the committee has said and how important strength of schedule is, and the fact that they shot Mississippi State up to number one fairly early on in their process. I believe they were number one the first week. I may be wrong about that. I'd have to look again. That indicated how strong the SEC is, and the fact that Mississippi State ends up losing a very hard-fought game on the road to Alabama should not penalize them to the point that they're going to drop more than three slots. Yep. So now, you know, other conferences may scream, but I don't think they should have dropped more than three slots. I think four is the right spot there just because of how tough the league is. I mean, here's the real argument, and I realize I'm preaching to the converted with your audience on Tide 99 FM. But if Florida State is playing in the SEC West, do we honestly believe they're undefeated right now? Of course not. No. Right?
Right.
If TCU or Baylor, with their lack of defense, is playing in the West, they have a loss. They maybe have two losses. Oregon, same kind of thing if they're playing in the SEC West. So that's part of this discussion. So I don't think you penalize Mississippi State for taking a loss at what is now the presumed best team in the league, Alabama, at the moment, on the road in what was a close football game. So I don't think they should have dropped below four.
TJ Reeves joining us. You hear him on weekends on Fox Sports Radio. You also hear him on the Tampa Bay Bucs radio network. And you read him online, SEC14.com. Okay, with Ohio State kind of lurking out there, does a run of the table get it done? If everything else stays as is, how do you think the committee is going to view a once-beaten Big Ten champion?
All right, so to define your statement, everything stays as is. Alabama wins the SEC with their one loss. Florida State wins out and finishes undefeated. Oregon wins out and wins the Pac-12. And either TCU or Baylor has won their remaining games, and they are the one-loss Big 12 champion. I don't see any way Ohio State cracks the top four, especially with Mississippi State. If they go ahead and beat Ole Miss at Ole Miss, and they have only one loss, I don't see how. I mean, I know there is a school of thought that in the first year of this college football playoff, they're not going to shut the Big Ten out if everything is equal. You've got Barry Alvarez on that committee. You and I have been over this before. You've got Tom Osborne on that committee. You've got people that have Big Ten ties. So there is a school of thought that they would not shut them out. But honestly, if it plays out like we're talking about, and it probably won't, where everybody's only got the one loss and Florida State's undefeated, I don't see how Ohio State gets into the four. I really do not. Not on their body of work, not on their strength of schedule.
Wouldn't it be amazing that in the first year of this, as we always talk about the great chaos that takes place in the final 2 to 3 weeks of the season, what if the chaos that's created comes with no chaos actually at all?
Yeah.
Everybody does win out, and it's, you know, you're one of those teams. You're TCU, you're Baylor, you're Ohio State, and you're going, are you kidding me? Nobody? Yeah. Nobody in front is losing?
And you've already started to hear hints that, they might want to have the 8-team playoff. John Swofford, the ACC commissioner, was putting it out there. How about this? Let's figure out the 4-team thing and let that go for a little while and see if we really like it. Because I think right now in the short term, it's going to be a good thing to have it only be four. Because once you increase it to eight, you're going to have a two-loss team and maybe a couple of two-loss teams that are going to be in the mix in the top eight. And let's just see. And we know this, Chris. You've been doing this for a long time. I've been around. I'm not a fossil yet. I'm making progress. There are going to be losses here. There's going to be a stunning loss or two somewhere here. It's coming in the next 3 weeks, whether it's a conference championship game. And this is where the Big 12, where they bowed down to hold the league together, they bowed down to Oklahoma and Texas, who no longer wanted to play a championship game. They may be hurt by that, Chris. When that weekend unfolds in two weekends, and you've got an SEC title game, a Big Ten title game potentially with Ohio State and Wisconsin, a Pac-12 title game involving Oregon, and they're playing and they're winning, and you're not playing a title game, you're playing the final week of your regular season, I think it's going to carry more weight with the committee. So the Big 12, I think, hurt themselves 2 or 3 years ago when they did away with that, when all the conference realignment was going on, and it may hurt them dearly in a couple of weeks.
TJ Reeves, Fox Sports Radio, joining us on the Budweiser Hotline presented by Green Beverage. All right, you say one of these at least is likely to happen. Where do you think it's most likely to happen? Where's the upset going to come?
How about Kansas State beats Baylor at the very end? I don't know how much of an upset that would be.
It would upset the apple cart.
All right, let's say in the Civil War, Oregon State, I know this is all the way out west, and to a lot of SEC fans, it might as well be on another planet, but out west last week, Oregon State shocked Arizona State, came from behind and beat them at home, and Oregon has to play Oregon State at Corvallis for this year's version of the Civil War, their rivalry game. Their Auburn-Alabama game, their Michigan-Ohio State, their Florida-Florida State is the Civil War, Oregon-Oregon State. What happens if Oregon State wins that game? And it basically renders the Pac-12 title game as meaningless in terms of the college football playoff. It could happen. Hypothetically, too, UCLA could get a second crack at Oregon in the Pac-12 title game. What happens on the neutral field where the 49ers play in Santa Clara if they upset Oregon? It could happen. UCLA's got a lot of talent on offense and on defense. So I'm pointing more so probably, you know what, Wisconsin can beat Ohio State head-to-head with Melvin Gordon running the football, and they're pretty good on defense also. So there, I mean, Chris, there are still several humongous games, and I'm not so sure, even if I'm Alabama, that Georgia is all that fun to deal with or without Todd Gurley.
No, I'm right there with
you. So, I mean, you have a lot to play out in the next 3 weeks. It's going to be crazy, and it's going to be fun to watch this and talk about it.
All right, so there's always the twofold watch going on this time of year. You're watching to see where the successful teams are going to wind up. You're watching where the unsuccessful teams are going to go in terms of a coaching search. That's certainly taking place in your state right now.
Yes.
Will Muschamp out? To me, this is a really interesting thing to watch, not only because of what the Florida job should be and will be with the right guy at the controls, but also you could see the dynamic in the SEC change dramatically, not only with the hire that takes place at Florida, but whoever steps up and writes the proper check to Will Muschamp for him to become their defensive coordinator. Because I can name three real easy where he could go make a major difference and suddenly the league looks a lot different.
Well, that's true, too. And South Carolina would be one of those. And a lot of people are reading into Steve Spurrier saying after the win last week live on the field on the SEC network that he felt bad for Will Muschamp. That's kind of like a coded indication that he would maybe hire him as the defensive coordinator at South Carolina. And look, I have been in this state for 30 years. I mentioned I'm becoming a fossil. That Florida job is one of the premier jobs in all of college football. It is definitely in the top 10. And some would argue in the 2000s, at least, it's got to be considered a top five job. With as much as they had won previous to Will Muschamp's last couple of years, you could make that argument. They have got to hire, Chris, a proven head coach. Jeremy Foley cannot go into this coaching hire with a first-time head coach again. So as much as Chad Morris's name, the offensive coordinator at Clemson, is going to get bandied about or pick a prominent assistant anywhere in the SEC or anywhere regionally in the South, he's not going to hire a first-time head coach because what he found with Will Muschamp was a guy that was completely overwhelmed for the most part. I mean, that's the truth. The results speak for themselves. The guy lost 15 SEC games over the course of his four seasons, and really, depending on what happens with the Florida State game, is arguably going to have the two worst seasons back-to-back in 30, 35 years of Florida football. It was a bad hire. It was a disastrous hire from that standpoint, and it's a guy that wasn't a head coach somewhere else. So the guy's got to have head coaching experience. And I have a name. Again, this is conjecture on my part. I do not have insight on this name other than connect the dots. You ready?
Yep.
David Cutcliffe Duke.
Wow.
And on the surface, you might hear that name and go, why? Well, there's several whys. Under the criteria of proven head coach, Chris, proven head coach at Ole Miss, proven head coach now at Duke, where it is incredibly difficult to recruit and win, and he's been able to do that. Cutcliffe with experience in the league. Cutcliffe with the opportunity to be part of one of the iconic programs, again, that's in the Southeastern Conference. Going to get a huge raise if he takes the job. I have no idea if he would leave and he would take it. Maybe he doesn't want the pressure cooker. I don't know. He had heart trouble previously. Maybe he does. I don't know. But Kurt Roper, the offensive coordinator at Florida, was David Cutcliffe's offensive coordinator for several years at Duke. You already have him there. He's already been talking to recruits in this state for the entire calendar year. You could do a lot worse than David Cutcliffe as the hire at Florida. Let's see if they turn their attention to him at some point.
How old is he?
I want to say he's early 60s, 62, something like that, 61, 62.
That's what I thought.
Clearly it would not be, I mean, if you're trying to go the young, good-looking, dashing good looks head coach, he doesn't fit that bill. But you know what Florida fans want right now? W-I-N.
Yeah.
Win some games. Because the last guy they had was the young, fiery, good-looking heir apparent to Mack Brown at Texas, and that didn't work out so well.
Last guy they hired from Duke, though, worked out pretty well.
As I recall, Stephen Orr Spurrier, that is his given middle name, Stephen Orr Spurrier, turned out to be just what the Gators needed as a former player, a former Heisman Trophy winner coming back. And I don't have any insight as we sit here this afternoon, but that is what they're going to do. I'm saying it makes a lot of sense for a lot of the reasons that I laid out. They could do a lot worse, too.
Would not disagree with you in that regard. You're absolutely right. Could do an awful lot worse, and would be somewhat surprising, but would be one, as you said, that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, in our state, with the Iron Bowl a week and a half away, Auburn, by what has been their standard the last couple of years, reeling, coming off of a big loss. Your take on the Tigers, and if they have anything left in the tank, or was Georgia perhaps a sign of things to come?
I think it's more the latter of what you said. I think defensively they have been poor for a lot of this year, especially the SEC season. Coming down the stretch, sure they could win the game against Alabama, but there's so much time to get into that here over the next 10 days before the game is played. But the anatomy of how they would do that is Alabama would have to completely overlook them. Not going to happen. Alabama would have to play horribly, especially on offense, with turning the ball over to give Auburn a chance, just because their defense is so bad. I mean, honestly, there's no way to sugarcoat it or try to misdirect. Their defense is terrible at Auburn right now. And so going into a road game with everything on the line, including revenge for Alabama from the circus way that game obviously ended last year, you would have to play a phenomenal game on offense, and Alabama would have to give the ball away three or four times at least to give Auburn a legitimate shot to win that Iron Bowl. Then again, it is a rivalry game, and you don't know what's going to happen in rivalry games. I'll say this. Florida State fans in my area that I am around, I'm talking boosters, season ticket holders, they are mortified that Florida went ahead and fired Will Muschamp prior to the rivalry game, because they lived that movie, Chris, in 2004 with Ron Zook. When Jeremy Foley fired Ron Zook and let him still coach the Florida State game, and Florida State beat Florida State in Tallahassee in a game where Ron Zook was taking all kinds of riverboat gambler chances that he wouldn't normally take. Ron Zook went for a 4th-and-10 at his own 20-yard line in the third quarter, and they got it. Crazy thing that you wouldn't normally try. So yeah. Florida State fans in their rivalry game are very much concerned with what kind of haymaker Florida's going to throw. It's why they're rivalry games, and that's why I'm looking forward to seeing that one, the Iron Bowl, all of them play out over the course of the next 2 weekends.
Alabama-Georgia SEC championship game, or is Missouri just going to mess this thing up like they did last year?
How about the Alabama fans will not only be interested in their game this week, but they're interested in can Tennessee beat Missouri and put Georgia into the title game? Because that's what it basically comes down to. I think Missouri's final game is Arkansas, if I'm not mistaken, on Thanksgiving weekend. So this is the best chance. This is the better chance in Knoxville with Joshua Dobbs running around. Matty Mauk has had problems with turnovers all year, including in victory. So does the bad Matty Mauk show up in Knoxville at Neyland Stadium throwing interceptions? Does he give Tennessee life? Does he give the Big Orange crowd a reason to roar? And can Tennessee get the job done? I know Georgia has the better chance to beat Alabama head-to-head, or even if it comes to it. I know Tide fans don't want to hear this. Georgia has a better chance to beat Mississippi State, too, if it comes to it.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
It may not work out that way. It may not work out that way because Missouri will have only lost one game if they win their last two, and they will be the team again in Atlanta. And who would have had that, by the way? First 3 years in the league, Missouri wins the East twice, if that's the way it works out.
I thought Missouri could win the East. I thought their best chance was the first year. I really thought, but
they were 500.
Obviously, they had all the injury issues, especially at quarterback. But
I believe
thought
they were 500.
That team coming in was going to have a chance
in the league year one, and they may have lost five times in the year in the league year one. And look,
Alabama
after Georgia annihilated them, Chris, earlier in the year, for them to recover from that, where they were just blown out at Columbia at home, 34-0. Matty Mauk threw five interceptions in the game. For them to recover and win the East, that's quite a coaching job for Gary Finkel and those guys. But realistically, they aren't beating Alabama or Mississippi State or even Ole Miss. Ole Miss fans are still screaming. They are still barely alive. They are still barely alive. But I think Georgia's got a chance. I don't think Missouri has much of a chance in the title game.
What do you got on the website?
Check out the latest SmackCast. There's a couple things. Russ Mitchell and I are on the latest SmackCast talking about Alabama and Mississippi State. And obviously, again, I realize I'm preaching to the converted in Tuscaloosa and on Tide 99 FM and all the listeners in Alabama. We believe they got it right with the playoff committee. We got a preview of that Missouri-Tennessee game that's up there. We got some thoughts on who the Florida coach might be. You already know my preview about David Cutcliffe being that guy. Also got an interview with Booger McFarland of the SEC Network for your listeners that are viewers of the SEC television network. Booger played at LSU. Love his insight and his humor. So you can check out that interview, and of course, we'll have previews of the games this weekend and much more on SEC14.com, my friend.
Always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. And I said this, and I mean it sincerely, when I was traveling last week with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and we landed in Washington, D.C., the only way I could keep up with Alabama-Mississippi State was Eli Gold and Phil Savage and Chris Stewart, and you kept me company for about 45 minutes listening to the first half of Tide and Mississippi State. Enjoyed it thoroughly, my friend.